Why is it that people always go around asking other people to heal them? Why is it that people always go around looking for someone else to help them with their problem? Like you go to the doctor, you know, like you go to the dentist, like you go to the psychiatrist, like you go to your mother, your father, like you go to a friend. We always go around looking for someone else to help us. And we haven't learned the simple truth that Jesus taught. It is done unto you according to your belief, not somebody else. Now, if the doctor were to come to you and say, oh, I work with those things all the time, and no problem, and the doctor puts this healing spell on you, and he gives you the pills that are necessary to sort of stop the problem. And then you go back into your home, into your life, into your world, and you do the same things you did before. And then the problem comes back again. And you say, why me? You know, it's congenital. It's contagious. It's something that cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. It is so terrible. Well, they used to think doctors were the way to help people get their illnesses cleared. And the doctors thought they were too. And then they wondered why the diseases kept growing and growing and becoming more prevalent in more people. And they found out that the cause was the doctors himself. Doctors did not wash their hands in between patients. They just passed the disease germs on from patient to patient. And sometimes little children were strong enough. They were not touched by the disease, which is wonderful. But most of the time, the diseases, how could the bubonic plague and those other things travel around? It was the doctors going from house to house carrying the disease and helping the people. People who were out of range of the disease, and yet the doctors brought it to them. And what do we do today? What do we do today? Today, we say, you must go in for your inoculation. You must go in for your flu shots. And you must go in for your flu shots because you don't want to get the flu. So what do they have in the flu shot? In the flu shot, they have a little bit of the flu germ, because it's supposed to help you build up a resistance to it. Well, some people don't build up a resistance to it because they believe that they're going to get it. And other people build up a resistance to it because they don't have that in their consciousness. But it is done unto you according to your belief. Now, Jesus was a most marvelous metaphysician. And he taught that it's done unto you according to your belief, according to what you're paying attention to. And he would say to people, pick up your bed and walk. He would say to them, you know, it's done unto you. And when the boss came to Jesus and said, my person is having a problem, will you come and heal him? And Jesus said, sure. And the boss says, no, you really don't have to come. Just tell me what to do, and I will tell him, and he will follow me because I am his boss. He will do what I tell him to do. Jesus said, wow, pretty cool. That's what you say to him. It's done unto you according to your belief. And then you're whole and perfect. And so the boss went to his employee, and he said, you're whole and perfect. It's done unto you according to your belief. It's over with. You know, and at that moment, there's not a healing period. The slave, the employee, got up and was healed. He was healed. Now, where's the magic? The magic is that somebody believed he was healed. He believed he was sick. And his employer was told by Jesus, speak these words, and it's done. Now, what words, what magic words did Jesus give the employer? He said, tell him, you're healed. Take up your bed and walk. It is done unto you according to your belief. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. And so what happened to the employee? He was home perfect. Never heard another word about him. Oh, they call him a centurion, soldier, and all that sort of good stuff. But that's you. That's me. That's us in our world. Healing starts where? Healing starts within. We cannot get the doctors to heal us. We cannot get anybody to heal us. When you go to the doctor and say, I've tried and 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 it doesn't work. Well, the doctor will say to you, with your attitude, I want nothing to do with you. You didn't come to me to be healed. You came to me to tell me your trouble. Now, if you have a boy who's dying, just a little boy, and you go to the doctor and say, can you help him? And the doctor says to you, now you visualize him being whole and perfect. You visualize him being healed. You visualize him running around and playing like all the other children. You visualize him doing that. And then you say, but he's not. That's not the truth. The truth is that he's sick. And the doctor says, okay, nothing I can do for him. It's an incurable disease, and you are the one who's making it incurable. So, what can we do? How can we live our life and have wholeness and have perfection? You say you want happiness in your world. That's what you say. And then you go around complaining about your problems. You say you want happiness in your world, and you talk about unhappy people. If you want happiness in your world, you must be happy in yourself. And then you look out and you see everybody happy, even those who appear in the truth that they're not happy. And what do you do about it? What you do about it is you are the one who's happy. You are the one who's joyous. If you want to go around being a spiritual counselor, and then all you do is tell the tales of the problems that people have, you're not being a counselor. You're just being a spiritual garbage can. And if that's what you want to be, then you go right ahead. Now, if you want to be a practitioner, if you want to be a counselor, if you want to be a teacher, then practice what you teach. You are practicing what you teach. You're teaching by illustration how much you don't believe. And if you believe, then you'll be that way. You'll be that way. Now, if anybody comes to you, Ellen, and says to you, I got a problem, you say, what solution do you want? Don't say, tell me your problem. Just what solution do you want? Now, we have a cat and a dog here. And our cat, we call him Sammy, but I think it's really Sammy is her. And we have Rex. And Sammy is always going over to Rex and smelling Rex's nose and saying, I like you. You're a good dog. You're a nice dog. You're a good friend to have. And Rex smells her back and says, yes, I am a good friend. Yes, I am a nice guy. Yes, I want to be part of everything that's going on. Yes, mm-hmm. And when you tell me to sit down and be quiet, I sit down and be quiet. I do whatever you expect me to do. And if you expect me to get up and jump and holler when you come in the house or I come in the house, that's what I'll do because that's the expectation you have for me. No. All you have to do is talk to Caesar Milan. And what does he tell you? He says the dog is a reflection of the attitude that people have. The dog is a reflection of their owner. If the owner wants to protect himself, he gets a dog to protect himself, you know. And then the dog is mean and vicious and terrible to get along with. And it's just what we have done. And so Caesar says, I do not train animals. I train people. And Caesar does train animals because Caesar comes in with an attitude of peace and the animal immediately melts. Caesar goes over to the animal and says, come, or it doesn't even say anything. And they have gigantic chains around the neck of their terrible dog, and choke chains and terrible chains. And Caesar takes a little piece of twine and he drops it over the dog's neck, lets go of the other chains and stuff. He doesn't take them off because that's not his business. He just puts this little piece of twine around. And the dog walks before him, not before him, that's a big feature. The dog walks next to him or behind him, wherever Caesar wants him. Now, if you're counseling with people and you go in there with your little piece of twine, they will be healed and they will be experiencing all the things you want them to experience. But if you go in there with a stronger chain, if you go in there with a shotgun ready to shoot them, if you go in there ready to put them down, as they say about animals, then that's the end. But if you're ready to say, there's nothing wrong with this dog, it's the people. They don't know how to handle them. But I'll show them. I'll show them if they really want to learn. You're not trying to pay attention to the game. You're not trying to learn the game the way I teach it. I'm leaving here. That's what Caesar says. Mm-hmm. He says, if you're going to treat the dog like an invalid, then that dog's an invalid. If you're going to treat that dog like a dear friend who does what you want them to do, not what they want to do, and you don't know what they want to do. Why do they want to do things? They want to do things because that's the nature of the animal to do that in the wild. And the dog's no longer in the wild. You are no longer in the wild. You are no longer something that's a violent, wild creature. You are someone who has taken control of yourself, and you have said to yourself, I am peace. When a dog is ill, he crawls under the porch and heals himself. He doesn't go around anything else. You go around everything else. You're looking for everything in the outer. The dog has learned to go within and be healed. You can learn that too. When you have an unhappy attitude toward yourself or anybody else in your world, just go within and be healed. When you have any attitude in your world that says to you that this is not what you want, then stop thinking about what's not what you want and think about what is it you want. Why have you come to the doctor to tell him of your diseases and make you feel good about being bad, or to tell him about your desire for wholeness? And he'll say, this is how to do it. He'll give you a statement like maybe you got a lack of vitamins or a lack of minerals in your body, or you have this or that, and he'll say, now just, you know, and take care of these things as I give you. And then you believe them. He doesn't tell you that you are perpetually going to be ill. Many doctors ask for a family history, and that's unfortunate. Because it's not the history that you want to know. It's the present. What do you want to do now in your life? What do the people in our world want to do? Why is Anita traveling the world and enjoying herself and stopping here and there for a few months and doing things? Why is she doing that? Why is why are other members of our team going around being monks at large? Why do they do that? Because they haven't settled down yet to be themselves, wherever they want to be, but just be yourself and enjoy it. And there's nobody out there to heal. There's nobody out there to make better. There's no animals needing your love. And there's no children or parents or various people needing our attention. The only thing that needs us is us. And we say to us, I like me, I like me, I like me. And we say to us, I have listened to Caesar and I've learned I have to train myself. If I want my world to respond to my good attitude about me, I must have a good attitude about me. if I want the world to respond to my bad attitude about me and my judgmentalism of them, then that's what it's going to be. So unconditionally, I love myself and everybody in my world. And my world is very exceptional, very special, very wonderful, and very ideal. And this is how yours is. This is how yours is, Rex. Yes, Rex says, I know. He says, if something bothers me, barf. I barf it out. I don't hang on to it. And the rest of you, you just take a pill or something and try to take care of it down here. Just barf it out. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. Clean yourself up. And be the kind of person that you really are. Yes. I unconditionally love myself. I like me, I like me, I like me. And I unconditionally love... Yeah, you know, I received a letter from someone the other day. Oh, yes. From Sibyl. And Sibyl wrote, she says, her grandchildren are saying, I am God. And her grandchildren are saying, I like me. And it is doing such wonders for them in stabilizing them and so forth. But when she started her letter, she started her letter without any greeting. She just started her letter. She didn't say, beloved Herb, beloved Ellen. She just started without any greeting. Now, some of the letters she did start with greetings and some she didn't. Sometimes you just say, hi Herb, and that's nice. But I love myself, and I love everybody else. Everyone is my beloved. They cannot not be my beloved, because they are my beloved. I know I'm Sibyl's beloved. But sometimes it pays for us to remind ourselves. As I told everyone, I say, you know, Stefan, I cannot write to anybody and say, dear Stefan. I have to write, beloved Stefan, because everyone is my beloved. Yeah. And if I ever don't say beloved to somebody, I am not saying that of myself, to myself, through myself, in my world. And so I have to always do that. That's why Stefan always says beloved. That's why you always say beloved. That's why Anita always says beloved. And sometimes when you forget, which you don't really forget, you're so excited about what you want to talk about that you forget that. And you always have to say, I love you. And when you say that, then everything's in divine order. And that's the way I want everything, in divine order, now and forevermore. And I say, my beloved, I love you. I love you. I love you.